We're doing the Medrash of Moshe Rabbeinu's final hours. Previous years, we learned a different Medrash, which went into Moshe's arguments of why he should live. This year, we'll learn a different Medrash about how Moshe was going to pass from the world. Part of Moshe's argument teaches us the value of life. When a person sees that there's tremendous value in every mitzvah that they do, they want to continue living. They say, in the name of, I don't remember, I think it's the Chazon Ish, that a person has to know that our sheer existence is a Kiddush Hashem. There's a reason Hashem created us. We mentioned earlier there was a person who was in pain and didn't want to continue fighting to live. So one of the things that they teach rabbis to tell people is this Chazon Ish. The idea that every minute you're alive is the mere fact that a person's alive is a Kiddush Hashem. Hashem wanted a certain representation in this world that's called me and you and him. And we're fulfilling a mission by being alive. And there's value. There's tremendous value to that in its own right. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees value in his life. Moshe Rabbeinu sees value in every mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu had every mitzvah we could think about, but he sees value in every new mitzvah. So the more a person is connected to that, the more they love life and they don't want to die. So the Medrash even goes so far as to say, Lo amut ki echieva saper maaseh ka is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash says a lot of similar psukim. Okay, so let's begin. The Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eser mitot ktuvot alav al Moshe. The Torah has 10 descriptions of Moshe's passing in our parsha. Hashem tells Moshe, Hein karvu yamecha, your days are almost done. Hashem, lamut. Hashem tells Moshe, Umut bahar, I want you to go up and die in that mountain. Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Ki anochi met, I'm going to die. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Yadati acharei moti, I know that after I die. He says, you've been so rebellious today, Vafki acharei moti, you'll be even more rebellious after I die. It says, Vizot abracha, this is the blessing Moshe blessed them, Lifnei moto, before he died. There are 10 places that the Torah references that Moshe is going to die. Until it finally says, Vayamot Sham Moshe. Moshe died over there at 120 years old. And then it says, Vayachrei Mot Moshe. So it's telling us that there were 10 times that Moshe tried to undo the decree, and it was decreed again. You're not going in, you're going to die. Again and again. And every decree was without a gzardin until he faced the great heavenly court. So Moshe wants to enter, and Hashem says, I've decreed you're not entering. Ki lo tavor et hayaden. So Moshe said, okay, I've heard of decrees before, and every other time you decreed, I was able to undo it. So Moshe thought to himself, let me deal with what Am Yisrael needs, and eventually I will undo this decree, just like I was able to undo the other ones. And Hashem saw that Moshe was not davening about the decree, says the Medrash. And so Hashem swore and said, Lachen lo taviu. I swear, the word lachen in Tanakh means I swear, you're not bringing the congregation into Israel. And Moshe saw that he had given it too much time, and that there was a decree. Too much time can be very little time, but on Moshe's level it was too much time. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu started fasting. And then he drew a circle in the sand. And he stood in that circle. Now we know Moshe did this once before. When Miriam got her leprosy, it says he drew a circle in the sand. And he stood there and said, I'm davening Hashem till you answer me. And Hashem said, fine, she'll be cured in 7 days. So then he stepped out of the circle. But this time, he draws a circle. And he stands in it. And he says, I'm not leaving Hashem till you undo the decree. And Moshe wore sackcloth. And he covered himself with ash. And he stood there praying before Hashem, and the heavens and the earth started shaking. And the world, the angels started saying, maybe Hashem wants to start a new world. And the heavenly voice came out, and Hashem said, no, I'm not starting the world anew. I'm not doing that. But Asher biyado nefesh kol chai, as the pasuk says in Iyov, veruach ko besar ish, I control every man's life, and the word besar ish refers to Moshe. Moshe is the ish, and he has to die. So Hashem went to every gate in heaven and said, when Moshe tries to pray, you don't let his prayer come in. And Hashem summoned all the courts that exist in heaven and said, none of you are allowed to accept Moshe's prayer. And I don't want any of you to plead his case before me because I've decided he's dying. And then there's an angel in heaven who's in charge of making announcements. And he comes and he's summoned to send all the angels to lock up all the gates that Moshe Rabbeinu's voice is piercing the heavens. And Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Medrash, his prayer was like a sword that can cut through anything. And Moshe Rabbeinu had learned how a person's supposed to pray. And about that hour, the pasuk says in Yechezkel, Vashma charai kol rash gadol, baruch kevod Hashem mimekomo, that everything was trembling because Moshe was standing in prayer. The Ribbon Shel Olam had said, I'm not changing what I decreed. And the angels saw that Hashem wasn't willing to accept even Moshe's prayer. That's when the angel said, Baruch Kevod Hashem Mimekomo. We see that Hashem defines his place. Sometimes we're taught that tzaddikim can shift things in the world. The angels saw that when Hashem decides he's not shifting, he's not shifting. And let's finish the Medrash and then take questions. You guys are going to have to run. And it says, Moshe stood in his ground and prayed 515 prayers. And he said to Hashem, you know how hard I worked for Am Yisrael. You know how hard I worked to make them into believers. This is a phenomenal Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I taught them. I wrote the whole book of Job, Iyov, to help them deal with all their hardships. They had just come out of Egypt. They had a lot of questions about you, Hashem. And I dealt with them. And I worked with them. And they had a lot of pain and suffering. They had relatives they lost. They had limbs they had lost. And I worked with each one. I worked to bring the Jewish people to a state that they accepted you. You know how hard I worked to help them keep your mitzvos? You know, Hashem. You know how hard I worked to make them connect to your Torah. And I worked so hard when they weren't on the level you wanted. So now I'm not going to get to see them when things go right for them, when they enter the land of Israel. Now you're going to give them blessing and you're telling me I can't enter the land of Israel? What are you going to do? Make your Torah worthless? You said, "Biyomo titen secharo." When a person works hard, you have to pay him that day. Don't let him go to sleep that night without being paid. He worked so hard. He's going to call out to Hashem, and Hashem won't let you get away with it, you said in your Torah. So now I've worked so hard. I've worked bringing the Jewish people to where they're supposed to be. 40 years. I brought them to a point where now you call them a holy nation, a trusted nation. Now I can't get to see them have their time of peace. We get an example of what Moshe's tefillah is like, right? The Medrash says Moshe knew how to daven, right? So we're getting a taste. Sounds like? Negotiation. Sure, negotiation. This is a short Medrash. If you go online, you'll see previous years we learned pages and pages of Moshe's arguments.
He was standing up, sure. I wasn't saying, please.
Right. That's what tefillah is supposed to be. Tefillah is you're supposed to find original claims to ask Hashem to give you what you want. Rashi says in the end of Masechet Yuma that the word tefillah comes from the word pius. The word tefillah is I'm trying to bring an appeasement, bring Hashem to a point where Hashem says, even though you're wrong, I'm willing to forgive it. You've made a good claim. I'm going to give what you wanted. And you have to find new angles of why you should get what you asked for. It says there's an angel in heaven called Samael. He's a wicked angel. And he's the head of all Satans in heaven. You see, there are many Satans in heaven, the Medrash says. And he heard Moshe was going to die. So he said, I've been waiting for this day. Let me go down and take his soul. That's what the pasuk says in Tehillim, Tzofer Rashala Tzadik Umvakesh Lamito. The wicked one waits for the righteous one. He waits, when can I kill him? And it says the most wicked of all is this angel. And the most pious of all is Moshe. So, Samuel is waiting. And he says, I want to wait till the angel of Am Yisrael, Michal, is going to cry and I'm going to take down Moshe. So, Michal tells him that's not what's going to happen. So, Moshe says to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, if you're not going to let me enter the land of Israel, so at least leave me out here. You don't want me to enter? Fine, I'll stay here, but I don't have to die. And Hashem tells Moshe, if you don't die in this world, how can you live in the world to come? And anyways, I wrote in the Torah, Ein miyadi matzil. No one can be saved from my hand. That in the end, everyone comes to meet me. Everyone has their day. I can't make my Torah fake. So Moshe says, Ribon Sholem, if you're not going to bring me into the land of Israel, so then turn me into an animal. Let me become an animal. Let me eat grass. Let me drink water. Let me stay in this world. Let my soul be like one of them. So here we see a phenomenal thing. Moshe says, every creature you created in this world has meaning. There's a way that they serve you. That's the Perek Shirah that David HaMelech wrote, the song of each creature in this world. Every creature has an element they serve you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if I can't serve you on a high level, let me serve you on a low level. And Hashem tells Moshe, Rav Lach. Here we learn something about Moshe. Reading this medrash to me is phenomenal. If they'd ask me, do you want to be a cockroach? Right? I'm saying, think about it for a minute. Right? There was that book. What was his name? The Man Who Woke Up, Kafka, right? So he wakes up and he's a cockroach, right? So, what? Okay. Who wants to be a cockroach, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm willing to stay in this world, even like that. And what does Hashem tell him? Rav Lach. So he says, Master of the world, leave me like a bird. You don't want to leave me like an animal. I know the birds have to run around and collect their food. Let my soul stick around like that. And Hashem tells him, Rav Lach. He says, you've asked enough. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that there's nothing he can do to stay away from death. And at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu concedes. According to the Medrash, cuts it really short. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hatzur tamim paolo kichol derachav mishpat." He says, "Hashem, I see you're just. You stick to what the truth is, and you're not giving in. That's like the lawyer who fights the whole time, and finally then says, you're right." Never heard of that lawyer, right? Lawyers never do that. Moshe Rabbeinu does it in the end.
Why should Hashem say, don't pray anymore if it doesn't have any meaning, any power? That shows us more that if he continues praying,
right.
it was something will happen.
It's a long answer. It's a long answer.
That means Tefillah has a power,
right.
Amazing power.
Right. The Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu took a piece of parchment and he started writing Hashem's hidden name, what's called Shem Amforash. And the time came that he's supposed to die. So Hashem said to the angel Gavriel, bring me Moshe's soul. So the angel said, how could I touch him? The man is like all of Am Yisrael. How could I see him die? How could I do something against him? So Hashem says to Michael, bring me the soul of Moshe. So he says, I was his Rebbe. He's my student. I can't see him die. Now here we see another concept that angels can answer. You guys have often asked this question. Do angels just have to do what Hashem says? And the Medrash repeatedly teaches us that angels have a task. So the angels can't pray for Moshe, but they're making claims in an underhanded way for Moshe. Meaning they're saying, don't make me do it because he's this, which is another way of saying, Rabon Shom, maybe you'll think about it again because he's A or B. And then Hashem turns to Samuel, which the angel calls Harasha, and he says, bring me Moshe's soul. So Samuel got very happy. He covered himself with what's called kas, anger, and he wore his sword, and he wrapped himself with achzariyut, what's called cruelty, and he started heading towards Moshe. And he's approaching Moshe, and I think we're out of time. No, okay. So, he sees Moshe, and Moshe is writing Hashem's hidden name. and his shine. There's a Zohar, the Medrash says, there's a light that makes him look like the sun, and he looked like an angel. And he got scared of Moshe. He says, okay, I guess angels can't take his soul. And Samuel wants to show himself to Moshe, but Moshe knew that's what was coming. So when he saw Moshe, he got scared. And he didn't know what he was supposed to say to Moshe. And he stood there from afar. And then Moshe looked up to him and said, "En shalom amar Hashem l'rshaim." Hashem said, "The wicked never have peace. What are you doing here?" And he tells him, "I came to take your soul." And so Moshe says, "Who sent you?" And he says, "The one who created all creations." So he said to him, "You're not going to do it." So he answers him, he says, "Everyone Hashem created is in my control in the end." And Moshe answers him and he says, "But I'm stronger than all of them." So he asks him, "Why do you think you're stronger? What makes you stronger?" He says, "I am the son of Amram, and I was born without a circumcision. And on the day I was born," now this is a medrash I don't think many people know. He says, "The day I was born, I was able to walk and talk to my parents. And I didn't even nurse." You have to understand how that works with the pasuk that says, "Vatenikeyu." Back to here. And when I was 3 months old, I started giving prophecy. And I said that I'm going to accept the Torah from burning fire. And when I walked outside, I looked into Pharaoh's castle. And then I went in and just took the throne off his head. And when I was 80 years old, I came back to Egypt and made all the miracles. I took 600,000 people out of Egypt as the Egyptians were watching. I split the sea to 12. Now here we have to ask ourselves, what is Moshe taking credit for? Their Bon Shalom did all that. All of this, being born a genius is their Bon Shalom. Being born circumcised is their Bon Shalom. Doing all the miracles is their Bon Shalom. How does Moshe take credit? We're learning something about the man who is the most humble of all men. What does it mean to be humble? But if Hashem sent me on these missions, there's something about me. You can't just say I'm nothing. I am a vessel, but I'm an important vessel. I am doing what Hashem wants, but I'm doing what Hashem wants. Meaning, I very often we think that humility means I'm only doing what Hashem wants, so I'm nothing. No, I'm so important because I'm doing what Hashem wants. It doesn't take away from the importance and it doesn't take away from the humility. Here we see that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Look at what I did. You can't touch me." What does that mean you did, Moshe? You didn't do it. The answer is, yes, I did. The answer is, being the vessel that does all of this is an important vessel. Coming back to here, he says, "I turned the waters of Marah to sweetness. I went up and I trampled through the heavens. And I was able to take over the wars of the kings, the angels. And I accepted the Torah of fire. And I was able to dwell under Hashem's throne of fire. And I spoke to Hashem face to face." That's not their buzz yet. "And I was able to argue with the angels of heaven and win the argument and reveal their secrets to mankind. And I accepted the Torah from Hashem's right hand. And I taught it to all of Israel. And I fought the two great kings, Sihon and Og." These two great giants that were so big that even in the flood only reached their ankle. A new medrash. The Medrash Rabbah says these two giants made it out of the flood. They were so tall, the flood didn't reach beyond their ankles, says the Medrash Rabbah. This is the Medrash Rabbah. "And I made the sun and the moon stand. And I was able to hit these two giants with my staff and kill them. Can you show me anyone else in the world that could do any of this? Get out of here." What was Moshe saying? If we connect this to the Kuzari says we know there's domem, tzomeach, chai, medaber. There's inanimate, there's living, right? There's the things that grow, the things that live, the things that can speak, right? The human being is above the animal is above the plant is above the inanimate, right? And then the Kuzari says there's the Yehudi. The Jew is a level above that. And then the Kuzari says there's Moshe, where Moshe is a level above. A human is different than an animal is different than the plant, so too the Jew, so too Moshe. Moshe was able to live 40 days without eating, so Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him, "I'm not going to die a human's death. Hashem made me different." Coming back to here.
This is after you accepted his whole tefillah.
Right.
Hashem, you're right?
Right.
He gave in. Now
right.
He's fighting again.
He's fighting the angel. He doesn't want to die from the angel.
Finish.
Right. And he said to the angel, what you should say is, I'm getting out of here because I'm not going to let you kill me. And it says the angel went back and said to Hashem, this is what he told me. And Hashem said, go back and bring me his soul. So it says he drew his sword. Why is it so difficult? And why is Moshe Rabbeinu fighting, right? You just said, wait, didn't Hashem just tell him to die, right? It says he drew his sword and went down at Moshe. And at that moment, Moshe got upset. Oh, until now he wasn't upset. Until now it was a peaceful conversation, right? Until now we can talk. You just want to kill me. At that moment, Moshe got upset, it says, and he took his staff that has Hashem's hidden name on it, and he gave the angel such a whack that the angel ran away from him. And Moshe started chasing after him. And it says that Moshe was able to take the light of the angel and blind him with it. And then Moshe went up, it says, and a heavenly voice said, Moshe, it's over. Your time has come to die. And Moshe said, Rebono shel Olam, remember the day you appeared to me by the Sneh, and you told me, go, I want to send you to Paro, take out my people from Israel. Remember the day you showed up on Sinai, for 40 days and 40 nights I was with you. Rebono shel Olam, after all that I'm asking you, don't leave me in the hands of the angel of death. And then a heavenly voice came out and said, don't be scared, I will take care of you myself, I will bury you. And at that point, the Medrash says, Hashem came down to bury Moshe. We see that even Moshe's death came hard. Aaron passed easily. Miriam passed easily. Moshe had to daven. You see that initially he wasn't going to get this. He had to plead, he had to daven, and we learned from Moshe the importance of davening in a way that we don't just give in to what life throws at us. The Medrash is teaching us a phenomenal lesson at Moshe's end. The angels are fighting with him. He says, fine, but angels are guided by Hashem. That's what Chazal tell us, that even if you have a prophecy that says, you're supposed to die, what are you supposed to do at that moment? Start davening. Moshe teaches us what it means not to give up, to daven till the last moment. Even if A has to happen, let it happen better. If he's going to die, he wants to die differently than Hashem is sending the angel. Moshe teaches us the power of tefillah, even when things seem like they're not changeable. Everyone should have a good Yom Tov.